Support comes from Stuart Peterson. Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
From the Lynn DeGrant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 15th day of October 2015. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. We'll take a look at the cash grain market, too. That with Matt Bennett from Bennett Consulting and Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois. Along the way, we'll get an update of the weather forecast. Mike Tenora will take us through El Nino a bit more, in particular the South American weather. Stay with us for this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Here's what the numbers finished up like in Chicago for this Thursday afternoon. Down 3.5 cents in the corn pit at 375.5. The March down 3.25 at 386.5. And the May at 392.75, 3.5 lower. July down 3.5 at 397.75. And December corn down 2.5 cents at 403.75 cents. Soy complex, November beans down 5.25 at $9.05. They went to 915.75, by the way, for their top today. January down 5.25 at 909. The March at 912.25, 4.75 lower. July down 3.75. November down 2.5 for next year. Settlement price there at 908.25. Soybean meal down $1.80 at 314. The bean oil down 25 cents at 28.58. Soft red winter wheat down 5.75, 502.5. The final trade, July at 518.75, down 6.25. And the hard red counterpart at 530.75 cents, down a nickel for this afternoon. Live cattle futures in Chicago are currently trading at 132.95. They're down 80 cents in the October. Feeders are down 82.5 at 189.97.5. And lean hogs still trading $66.75. They're down 7.5 cents at this hour. Some of the outside markets show us ethanol futures down a penny and 3 cents at $1.52. Crude oil at $46.62. They're down 2 cents per barrel. And the price of gasoline on wholesale at $1.30.09. That's of 0.1 cent higher for the day. Diesel fuel is up 0.6 cents at $1.48.09. And natural gas down 0.05 cents at $2.46.06.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois. Dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
Here's what the Dow Jones Industrial Average looks like at this hour. 17,015. It's up 193 points. The U.S. dollar is rallying just a bit, up 0.478 at 94.43. And gold futures for the day at $1,186, or $6.20 higher. The weather forecast for the Urbana-Champaign area says sunny skies today. 73 on a west wind at 14 to 17. That will turn to the northwest this evening at 9 to 11 and gusts to 15 miles an hour. It'll clear things out completely, although it's already pretty much there. And then we'll have a low of 41 degrees, Friday sunny and a high of 59, a northwest wind at 9 to 16. Friday night, widespread frost after 1 a.m., otherwise clear, low of around 30 degrees. That on a north-northwest wind at 5 to 10. And Saturday, sunny skies and 54. Saturday night, widespread frost again, that after 1 a.m. in the morning, otherwise mostly clear and a low of 29 degrees. On Sunday, sunny skies and 57. Sunday night, clear in 40s. On Monday, to start the work week, sunny and 67. We'll go to 50 Monday night. Tuesday, with a high of 71 under sunny skies. And Wednesday, 69 degrees. A chance of showers, and it should be mostly cloudy. We'll take a more complete look at the weather forecast with Mike Tenora. He's at T-Storm Weather in Chicago. That'll happen at the bottom of the half hour. We'll take an in-depth look at South American weather and the beginning of the planting season for them when we talk to Mr. Tenora. You can always hear it again if you'd like on our website. Actually, it's already there at willag.com. www.riskmanagementcommodities.org.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
It's Thursday, the 15th day of October. This is Illinois Public Media, the closing market report. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. We're joined by Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Dan, thanks for being with us. You heard a weather forecast, I suppose, that tells you that we have some frost in the offing for our part of the world. I bet that's probably not the case where you are in Texas.
No, we're actually still mid-90s today and tomorrow, and then we're going to maybe cool off a little bit next week, maybe into the 80s. But we're a month or two away from any frost, at least down here. I wish we could get some good killing frost because we can't get rid of our flies. I've never seen flies at Christmas before until I moved down to Texas, and they got flies at Christmas. So, I guess that's the only time of the year I wish we would have a killing frost.
Well, Merry Christmas to you. It's a bit early. Maybe you'll get a frost and you'll have your wish. Hey, tell me more about what you've seen in the marketplace, in particular soybeans, and how they lay out technically at this time.
Well, soybeans, today we were higher earlier on anticipation that we were going to get a little solid, pretty good crush number. The trade was kind of looking for a crush number up around 129 million, and it came in at a little less than 127 million. It's not that big a deal, but it was off a couple million, and it gave the trade reason to kind of let go of some of the longs that the market has built in over the past 3-4 days. Now, technically, the bean market is probably what you call on a daily basis overbought after that breakout to the upside of our 6-week trading range that we had there on Tuesday. Now, a lot of times when a market breaks out of a pattern, within a few days, it kind of consolidates and falls back to the point of breakout, and that is when you validate whether or not the breakout was valid or if it was just one of those false type breakouts. So it would have surprised me to see if the bean market would maybe slip back a little bit, find some support. Let's say we'll talk in November soybeans. I would say that November beans ought to find some pretty good support around this. I'd say this 890 level. That's going to be the top end of the trading range that we had. We can consolidate there, and if we can hold above that level, then I think then the market is ripe then for another run to the upside as we go on into the month of November. Corn, it's been pretty much a steady down. All of your technical systems and trading systems have been basically short this market for a long time. And I really don't see anything, at least in the offering in the short run, that would turn the technical trader around. Probably just glancing at the December corn chart, if you kind of want to draw a trend line off of the October low and you connect it to the September low, you kind of got a trend line support coming into play somewhere here around the 368 to 370 mark. So I guess initially you'd say after today's closes, we're closing in on a nickel down, 6 cents down the market. Should at least find some trend line support. The other thing is a lot of your technical indicators are zeroing in on an overbought or an oversold technical condition. So as long as the 4 cents or 6 cents doesn't come too quickly, if we could consolidate a little bit tomorrow and then maybe we probably would go lower going into the weekend given the forecast, and see kind of what happens down here around this 370. But that's going to be the first line of support on these corn. And Corn has had some pretty good movement into the marketplace, more so probably out west and probably in the eastern Corn Belt. The eastern Corn Belt's got a little smaller crop. Talking to guys, I kind of think you guys are going to be, the eastern half anyway, is going to start wrapping things up pretty quickly here in another week, or the west and the northwest still have several weeks to go yet.
Indeed, a good portion of, I would think, central Illinois, near the Springfield area to the south, from there and south from here have all gotten done or are within a day or two of being done. And I think even to the north of us, they're moving along fairly quickly. So that should wrap up, should take some harvest pressure out of the marketplace, at least in this area, although we'll continue to see some, I suppose, until we get 55 or 60% done for corn. And that'll take another week, week and a half, I would guess, wouldn't it?
Well, this year is probably one in history. I can't remember when we've had an uninterrupted harvest season. I mean, this thing has been
beautiful
weather-wise.
Yeah, I heard somebody say they had been 30 days. And so they
30 days.
Yeah, 30 days. Been able to work
with interruptions.
Right.
With no interruptions. That has to go down in the record books. And I don't think there's anything in the forecast that really says there's going to be interruptions. So I'm somewhere in here, that's probably going to come in here and haunt us. It may be toward the tail end of harvest. But one would think we would get some
she's gonna open
into
up.
The season selling pressure anyway.
Yeah.
But the good thing has been is we've had no time. We haven't really had to dry the crop. So it's come right out of the field dry, right on into the elevator. Farmers have been able to kind of store it off farm or on farm in plastic bags. So it is getting tucked away fairly quickly with little drying costs. But I would suspect if the crop is as big as it is, we will have some harvest and selling pressure that will probably take hold.
Always fun to talk with you. I'll chat at you again next week.
Very well.
Thank you so much. That, of course, is Dan Zwicker. He is with Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Joins us on this Thursday afternoon. In today's agricultural news, farm groups are warning producers not to become complacent after last week's federal appeals court decision to delay for now implementation of the Waters of the U.S. rule, or WOTUS. Producers and farm leaders were celebrating last week when a federal appeals court stayed the Environmental Protection Agency's controversial WOTUS rule, which expands the agency's control over U.S. waters. However, farm groups like the American Farm Bureau's Don Parrish says it's a little too early to declare victory.
This is only temporary. It could be lifted if this Sixth Circuit says that we do not have jurisdictional subject matter here, and it could take 5 years for this stuff to percolate back up, which means there may be district courts out there that then has to rule on additional injunctions in the future. So, you know, we're a long way from having this thing really sorted out.
Parrish says Congress, and especially the Senate, which has not yet acted, could shorten the process dramatically.
It's time for Congress to step in and to be the adult here and to force EPA to go back to the drawing board. If any members of the Senate didn't understand that EPA made mistakes, now they've got two courts saying that they definitely made mistakes and they need to step in and do something.
Senate environmental allies, by the way, have blocked the repeal of WOTUS, though a bill has now gotten out of the GOP-controlled Environmental and Public Works Committee. It is likely to face procedural hurdles on the floor. And for the second year in a row, the rate of global agricultural productivity growth continues to stagnate. That according to a report by GHI, or Global Harvest Initiative, GHI's sixth annual Global Agricultural Productivity Report. Building Sustainable Breadbaskets warns that unless this trend is reversed, the world may not be able to sustainably provide the food, feed, fiber, and biofuels needed for a booming global population. Global agricultural productivity must increase by 1.75% annually in order to meet the demands of an estimated 9.7 billion people in 2015. According to GHI's annual assessment of productivity growth, the GAP index, the current rate of growth, is only 1.72%. The rate of annual productivity growth in low-income countries is much lower, only 1.5%. At this rate, 15 years from now, 2030, sub-Saharan Africa will only be able to meet 14% of its food demand. Let's stay with the food demand side of agriculture. The Director General of the FAO says all countries should strive to ensure an ambitious agreement to tackle climate change, putting food security and agriculture at the center of the debates. He also warns that failure to do so would unravel recent progress made in combating world hunger. He made his comments at a side event of the Committee on World Food Security, which is meeting in Rome this week. The FAO Director General hailed the international community's recent adoption of the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development, which includes the eradication of hunger and extreme poverty. However, he stressed that to achieve these goals requires a paradigm shift towards agriculture and food systems that are more productive and inclusive and more adapted to climate change. Oh, and finally today, let's stay with a similar subject. This time we'll talk about GMOs a bit. Despite high-profile debates in the media about GMOs, organics, and antibiotic-free food, the majority of Americans care most about the cost and nutrition of their food. That according to a new survey by the Chicago Council of Global Affairs. The survey also found that Americans trust health professionals, friends and family, and farmers more than media or food companies for food information. And that's a look at the day's agricultural news. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. The nations of Africa have struggled to feed themselves for decades. Well, there are some places like South Africa that have successfully adapted some of the world's primary crops. Corn's a good example. However, soybeans, which are also grown in Africa, aren't particularly high-yielding varieties. To that end, soybean breeders from three African institutions have been visiting the United States in hopes of making some improvements. The Soybean Innovation Lab is on the third floor of Mumford Hall at the University of Illinois. It's just an office space in the Agricultural College. Well, not really just an office space. The lab works to find better ways for Africa to feed itself and grow local economies. This is much easier said than done. For instance, this fall, three soybean breeders came to Illinois to learn how to set up better field trials. They face some unique and basic problems.
We cannot easily access the envelopes in our condition. We don't have many breeding programs, so there are no companies that are doing these envelopes.
That's Abush Tesfaye from Ethiopia, and you heard that right. He cannot get envelopes. You know, the little seed packet-sized manila envelopes. It's the way plant breeders keep different seeds separated from each other. They'll have to make their own from cloth. But that's not the biggest problem, says Godfrey Chageza from Zambia.
I think the major challenge is probably faced in Africa is probably infrastructure moving from one side to another side.
Africa does not have an infrastructure. There are so few roads, it takes longer to get from one field to another than it does to plant, care for, and harvest the field. Although they don't have much equipment to carry. Here at Illinois, U of I plant geneticist Randy Nelson took some time to show the Africans how to use a one-row push seeder.
I mean, I don't think this probably doesn't weigh 30 pounds, 40 pounds maybe. But I think the same things. So you've got the cone. So whatever seed you put in there is going to be planted in one revolution of that cone.
The African breeders hope to adapt higher-yielding varieties with the aid of the Soybean Innovation Lab. It's the fastest-growing crop on the continent. Farmers with 2 to 10 acres are growing it to feed their chickens and send their kids to school. They grow other crops to feed themselves, says Zambia's Godfrey Chageza. But the soybean, it's meant to improve their lives.
For farmers to move from being from the poor or from poverty, that I'm lying, they need also to have income.
They can raise and eat chickpeas and maize, corn, and they do, but with the soybean, they can sell and reinvest in their families. If you'd like to learn more about the Soybean Innovation Lab, you can find it online. Just search Google for Soybean Innovation Lab. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason, urging you to visit our website for a couple of reasons. You can always check up all of the latest information that's coming off of our radio station. We post it there not long after it airs on the stations, sometimes before that, like Commodity Week, which we'll record this afternoon. Oh, by the way, Dr. Cordonnier is our special guest, so we'll talk a lot about South America this afternoon with him. That'll be up by about 5:30 tonight. And you can also pick up your ticket to the Farm Assets Conference. That is Tuesday prior to Thanksgiving, December the 24th. We've got a whole bevy of our regular analysts and panelists that will be there, including Sue Martin. She'll be coming in from Iowa. And then we'll go through a bunch of interesting things. The folks at Climate Corp, that's owned by Monsanto, that's the Field View folks, will be providing us with a vice president. His name's John Jansen, to go through big data, how it's collected, how it's used, what the infrastructure looks like. And we'll ask him some pretty probing questions along the way. You can, too. It should be a great day. You can check out all the information at farmassetsconference.com. You can buy your tickets there, too, or at willag.org. Either one works. Tickets are just $30, and it's the Tuesday before Thanksgiving. Kind of hope you'll pick up those tickets really soon. Thanks so much. Now, let's turn our attention to the cash grain market, and we'll talk with Matt Bennett. He's at Bennett Consulting and Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Matt. You're having a nice fall afternoon. I wonder what kinds of things you're doing in the field. You finished up last week, so have you been doing just some cleanup in the equipment area, or what you been up to?
Yeah, we've got a little bit of field work left to do. We were doing some field work, as we were getting our harvest wrapped up. But just kind of hoping for maybe a shower here before too long. I know some guys aren't quite done, so I don't want to wish that on them, but man, it's awful dry. You keep hearing about guys with field fires and stuff like that, so it's awfully dry right now.
Yeah. What are you, is anybody, I mean, most everything's probably gone in your area at this point, right?
Most everything, but yeah, there's still a few guys rolling into the elevators. You see a cornfield here and there, and I actually seen a couple bean fields here, but I think they were stubble beans, so.
Was everybody happy with what they got off of their fields and maybe better than expected for corn?
You know, I would say that people are pretty happy for the most part on soybeans, and then on corn it's just variable. You know, with certain conditions, things were really good. Some of the corn suffered just a little bit this year, depending on management practices, and then other places it was really good. Guys that added nitrogen seemed to really benefit from that, as well as fungicides. So high management really worked well this year and paid big dividends.
How do you see basis for both corn and soybeans?
Yeah, basis has been pretty good for both, especially whenever we're talking about pretty good-sized crops. I don't really see basis backing off a whole lot, especially whenever we see markets like today, whenever they're kind of tough to look at. I think that basis hasn't really done a great job of frying the crop out of the guy's hands to this point, and so I think basis it's probably not going to get any weaker anyway. I think it'll stay status quo, and then it should probably increase once harvest wraps up.
All right, I got 10 seconds. Will futures rally or not?
I think so, especially on corn long term, but I think a lot of that's going to be, we got to have production again next year.
All right, hey, thanks so much.
Yep.
It's Matt Bennett, of course. He is with Channel Seeds and Bennett Consulting out of Windsor, Illinois. Back in a couple of minutes, we'll take a look at the weather forecast with Mike Tenora.
Support for WILL comes from Busey. With more than 145 years of experience, Busey understands the benefits healthy businesses provide the local economy. Proudly partnering with the business community since 1868. Busey, your dream, our promise.
It's National Roast Pheasant Day. The pheasant was not native to the U.S., but rather was first imported in 1733. But it was not until 1881 when some 100 pairs of Chinese ring-necked pheasants were released in Oregon that the bird gained a foothold in America. On this day in agricultural history in 1874, child labor and child abuse issues caught public attention in the U.S. when a 9-year-old child named Mary Ellen was found in the home of her guardian suffering from malnutrition, serious physical abuse, and neglect. but there were no child laws on the books. So the court ruled against the guardian, turning to laws that regulate pets. Prosecutors argued Mary Ellen was a member of the animal kingdom. By the way, early attempts at child labor laws excluded agriculture. In 1889, Sir Daniel Gooch died, an American railway pioneer and inventor. He laid the first successful transatlantic cable, allowing telegraphic communication between the U.S. and Europe. And in 1930, Herbert Henry Dow died, an American chemist and industrialist. He was a pioneer in the U.S. chemical industry, and he founded the Dow Chemical Company. As a young man, Dow entered the fledgling chemical industry in the 1890s by inventing a method of extracting bromide from prehistoric brine trapped underground in Midland, Michigan. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agricultural industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Thursday afternoon. Mike Tenora joins us from T-Storm Weather in Chicago. Mike, thanks for being with us. Tell me about Brazil, the weather there. They generally have a dry season. Then they begin to get rainfall, though that didn't happen this year as early as it has normally. What's happening there?
Well, you're absolutely right. Brazil has a fairly unique climate and one that we do not have anywhere in the United States, where the interior areas where much of their corn and soybean crops are grown has a very dry season during the winter. Remember, their winter is in June, July, and August. During that entire period, they only receive around 1 to maybe 1.5 inches of rain, so that's pretty dry. You go forward into the middle of their summer, which again would be December, January, and February, and they're getting somewhere around 10 inches of rain per month. So think about that. They're averaging around 0.5 inch of rain per month in the winter, and then in the summer they're averaging 10 inches. That's a huge difference. And during the transitional period, which is the spring and the summer, we move from one phase into the other. So we either go from the dry season into the rainy season, or we go from the rainy season back into the dry season. Right now we should be moving into the rainy season, and although we have seen some thunderstorms develop from time to time, most areas have not seen very much in the way of rainfall over the last 2 to 4 weeks. Typically, right about now, we would start to see some pretty heavy rainfall. But looking at the weather maps that we have in place, that's not going to be the case for a little while. There's a large upper-level high centered on interior Brazil, and we can see that it's not going to move very much for at least 10 days and possibly up to 14 days. That would take us all the way until the end of October. Now, one of the other differences between the weather there and here is how farmers react to it. In the United States, it really doesn't matter how wet or dry the winter's been. You'll figure out a way to get the crop into the ground. It's a little bit different in Brazil. Since it's basically bone dry during the winter, you need to have some rain in the beginning of the season to get planting started. If you don't, your seed will just sit there and it won't do anything. It needs moisture. They have a very sandy type of soil that's unique to them as compared to us. And the reason all this is important right now is because with not too much in the way of rain coming up, it'll be very difficult to get a great start to the planting season and a great start to emergence. So we need to see some more thunderstorms. Now, all of this being said, we should note that it will start to rain there at some point. This is a monsoonal type climate that they move into. They don't see long-term droughts as frequently as we would see in the U.S., or as in most areas of the world. So it's not a matter of if it's going to rain, it's a matter of when. And that would then become a factor later on in the year. Much of these areas plant two different crops, an early crop and a late crop. If the early crop, which is being planted now or will be planted shortly, gets planted way too late, then the second crop would start to have some problems because
that crop would not get enough rain at the end of its growing season. So the point is they will get this crop planted, but it's a matter of timing, and we can say with some confidence that it'll more than likely end up behind normal for the next couple of weeks.
Hey, thanks, Mike. Mike Tenora with T-Storm Weather in Chicago. That's the Closing Market Report.